This is an ABC podcast.
This is Niche and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Malola le to all my Tongan listeners. We are chatting to my cousin today, Alana Sikimeti, the latest Tongan to make the Wallaroos squad. So stick around and you'll find out why I was her favourite player. Nah, jokes. Anyway, well, welcome to everyone joining us for Niche and Footy, the place where we shine a big light on our Pacifica talent in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is the best tipster in the world, Tinarau Arona T. I'm deep
yes.
down. Dirty.
Another one on the tripping rugby union. What am I, 8 from 8 now?
9 from 9, I think.
What was it, Brumbies? I got and you
lost. I went the Hurricanes.
And the Brumbies got up. So
hurry up and get into Kia Ora.
Another one. Kia Ora, Sammy, and Kia Ora to you listening to Niche and Footy. Yes, Sammy, we cannot wait to catch up with your cousin. And I assume you had a big influence on her career.
Yeah, on what not to do.
So. Or what not to eat pregame. But yes, we're looking forward to chatting to her. And also Shelley Long, who will be covering the Super W Grand Final winners, the Waratahs, beating the Drua. A huge game that was played over on the weekend.
Yep, big win.
And there were a few less NRL games across the weekend because a few games were played on Anzac Day, so we'll rip through them games as well.
Moment of the week.
Yes, Sammy, we saved this news for today. It was announced last week that the Sydney Roosters, in honour of Joey Manu and past Cook Island players that have represented the Sydney Roosters, were going to get rugby league on free-to-air Cook Islands TV in the Cook Islands.
That's huge news. And of course, the Sydney Roosters are all over this. That's outstanding.
Just speaking to Kale Edo last week and him growing up in the islands, and then now he's playing on NRL for the Cronulla Sharks. You got Joey Manu as well. You got Valentine Holmes, a number of Cook Island superstars in the NRL. And now we've got our own locals in the islands being able to watch for free on TV and watch their stars, especially Kale that's growing up in the Cook Islands. Gives them that sense of belief and hope that they can one day be on that big stage as well.
Yeah, what amazing news there. And do you know what? Even though Joey Manu is going to Union, I think that's what I love about the Roosters the most, is the fact that once a Rooster, always a Rooster. And to be able to honour Joey Manu and what he's done for the club and the Cook Island people, like that's amazing. And so just get some clarity on that. Is that every Roosters home game, or how does it work? So what will they be watching?
So it's all Roosters games, including the NRLW and the finals. They've also had a number of Cook Island representatives for the Roosters. They've had Dylan Napa, Zane Tetavano, Brad and Kiana Takarangi.
Tinara Arona.
And yes,
yours
the one
truly.
And only. But
yes.
Man,
the cookies will be going off.
You can see why I love the Sydney Roosters. And yeah, it's just a special thing for them to be able to shine light on our locals back home.
Yeah, love it.
Malolele everyone, this is Tekope Kempo from Wana Pacifica, and you're listening to Niche and Footy.
Yes, so there were a few games that were played last Thursday, and we caught them games on Niche and Footy Fridays with Sala Tonga Tuki. So I'm going to rip through a couple games here. And on Friday night, we seen the Parramatta Eels take on the Manly Warringah Sea Eagles in Manly. A lot of history with these two teams, Sammy.
Yeah, there's been a bit of player movement between the two clubs, hasn't there? And what's that? Tony Williams is one of them. Anthony Watmower.
Justin Horo.
Justin Horo as well. There's been some big names that have crossed between. And the fact that Manly used to have have their feeder club out at Blacktown as well. Blacktown Workers. So their head coach, Brad Arthur.
Yep.
He was at Manly. So yeah, a lot of history there.
So it was a packed out game, but only 4 minutes into the game, Tongan Haumole Olakau'atu gets sent to the bin for 10 minutes for a dangerous tackle on Parramatta's Sean Lane. The Eels had a solid first half, going into the break with the lead, 14-6. Fijian winger Mika Sivo scoring two tries in the first 40 and another in the second half, making it another hat-trick for the flying Fijian. But the Sea Eagles, after halftime, really stepped up a gear and took it to the Eels. Now, the Tongan forwards Taniela Pasika and Haumole Olakau'atu took some strong carries, and the Manly spine turned that momentum into points. Four tries for Manly in the second half. The Eels won. We had Ruben Garrick kicking 5 from 5. Mike Acevo, after scoring three tries, his third try, only a few minutes later, he gets sent off to the bin.
What was that for again? What was his, I guess?
It was a bit of a elbow to the head on the ground.
Oh, was it? Okay, just a little facial massage.
Little face massage. And yeah, he spent the rest of the game in the bin.
Oh, no.
So Manly went on and won the game 32-18. I thought Taniela Pasika took, he was strong. He took 15 carries, made 148 metres. And then after Olakau'atu's 10-minute rest early in the game, he had 16 carries and 5 tackle breaks and a try assist to come with it.
Right in front of the post, Aloye plays it to Lawton, goes right to Terry Evans, then away to Olakau'atu. Pass Sanders, flick pass away to Ruben Garrick, and he scored, I think, before Sivo's even gone into the tunnel. Try to Manly, concern here for Olakau'atu. Garrick the try.
And then we head up to Townsville, where the Penrith Panthers took on the North Queensland Cowboys. We had a number of milestones on both teams this game. Samoa and Thomas Mikaele made his Cowboys debut. He just come back from the UK, but he also played in the NRL before making his debut here at the Cowboys. And the man they call Childish, or his teammates call Childish.
How funny was that clip?
Yes. And also a beast.
Yeah,
Brian To'o, a.k.a. Bizza. He played his 100th NRL game. Mate, 25 years old, and he has done, mate, his resume, it's good enough for Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's a long list of achievements, isn't it? Yeah, grand final wins, origin wins.
Well, to be exact, 4 grand finals.
Oh, there we go.
Three rings. Yeah. 9 origin games for New South Wales, and 7 international games for Samoa at the age of 25.
That's massive. Wow, that's massive. And like, for me personally, I think watching the way he plays on the wing, he's changed the game again. Because remember back in the day, it was Matty Utai, that short winger, and then it seemed like it was all the 6'4" wingers coming in because they wanted to do the crossfield kicks. But Brian Tottle has really brought that type of winger back again, especially with his ball carries to help the forwards out.
It's so important. And he, just in this game, which I'll touch on shortly, he had a blinder. It was like he went out there to prove a point. It was his 100th game. But this game was a game of two halves, Sammy. Panthers very dominant in the first half. Bizza scoring the first try in the 2nd minute of the game. And we've seen Paul Alamotti last week against the Tigers score a try. Well, he scored another one this week with an intercept just before halftime. It reminded me of Stephen Crichton, the way that he put himself in a position to get between the ball and the defender and then just streak away about 50, 60 metres, puts the ball underneath the post. But then in the second half, I think the Cowboys got a bit of a rev up because they came out and after that first early try from the Panthers, the Cowboys found some real momentum. They were strong, direct, and on the back of that was some tough defense.
I think all the try scores for the Cowboys, they were all Pacifica, is that right?
Yep.
Players?
Well, that led to 4 tries. Valentine Holmes, Gulikefu Fenefiuyaki,
Cook Islander, Samoa Tongan,
Jeremiah Nanai,
Samoan.
And the first try for the Cowboys in the first half was Semi Valame.
Oh, so Fijian, there you go.
So yeah,
covered everyone.
Fijian, Cook Island, Tongan, and Samoan. Just needed Xavier Coates or David Mead for a PNG, and we got
in the Cowboys and Penrith game.
But it wasn't enough to take down. Oh, actually, sorry, they got Zach Labatt up there. So,
okay.
But he's injured at the moment. But yeah, it wasn't enough to take down the reigning champs. Panthers winning this one 26-20. And the Century Samoan, Brian Tottle, was my MVP. He had 1 try, 227 metres, and an 18 carries, Beza made a crazy 21 tackle breaks. Now the next
21 tackle breaks.
21. So the next highest was Dylan Edwards, their perennial fullback, with 8.
Shut the gates. What a game.
Well, here's his try.
Now through Cleary to the right-hand side. Second man, Edwards, passes to the wing. Over halfway goes Alamotti. Comes to Dearden, beats him. Dearden goes again and gets him. Only 5 metres from the goal line. Good second effort, Dearden. Great run, Alamotti, into the starting team. Cleary dummies and straightens his tackle by Neen. 10 to the right of the uprights and only 5 metres out. Penrith with an early chance. Kenny to the left through Yo to Luai. Big pass to the edge for To'o. Catches, scurries and scores! Brian To'o with his first touch goes in and the Panthers barely have wasted no time.
That Jerome Luai Beza combination is going to be missed.
What a pearler of a pass too, that right to left.
And remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia. In the New South Wales jersey flag, the Cavite Silk Tails got absolutely smashed by the Bulldogs 60-0. They will host the Eels next week in Lautoka, and the Eels are also winless. So
I'm going to call that one. The Silk Tails are going to win in Lautoka at Churchill.
No, not the Sammy Wykes curse. Come on, brother.
No, league, I'm all right.
Don't do that.
League,
man.
I'm actually okay in rugby league. T.
Don't do
Union.
That. Are you going to be there? You're going to be in Fiji this weekend?
No, I've got a couple of weeks at home, which is good.
Ah, that's good. And the Q Cup, we've seen the PNG Hunters lose to the top of the table. Burley Bears, 48-24. They slipped to 12th on the ladder with 2 wins from their 6 games. Sammy, that's enough from rugby league. Actually, we've got a little bit more in rugby. One more. Rugby league note, our good friend Andrew Fifita.
Well, it's a crossover, isn't it?
It's a crossover. This is that crossover.
This is the crossover, the good transition. Here we go.
So Andrew Fifita.
He actually had a game of rugby union down in the local subbies competition here in Sydney. I think he went under the name as...
Andalu.
I think it's Reese's mate. Fifita, I think
Reese's mate was his name on the team sheet.
On the team sheet, but he crossed. He's looking in good nick, Andrew. He's looking okay.
Is he?
I thought he played well. There was a clip of him running over 1,000 of those, just swatting flies out there. He should have done that about 10 years earlier when he could have played for the Wallabies. Would have earned a Mozza as well. But anyway,
the Sharks would have never won their NRL.
Anyway, well, it's good to see him playing the game. They're playing heaven, but moving over, Super Rugby. Another week. Yet another week I lose to you in the head-to-head tipping
standard
contest. The Brumbies got the win over the Hurricanes in Canberra, 27-19. And T, before you start gloating, you know when I knew I was in trouble? I got back from calling the draw game, coming back to the hotel, and it was on in the lobby, and the Brumbies turned down 3 points early in the game. They've kicked for the corner. I saw Alan Alatoa back from his long-term injury, his Achilles injury, the way he set up for his line-out lift, like you have to get low to get underneath the player to lift him at max height. But he was like full squat, bum to floor, ready to go, ready to launch, and he's launched this player up. And the way he set that platform for the Moore try, I knew I was in trouble.
Is that not common to see?
Well, not with that, like it's sort of, but it was just more like his energy and intent to be able to know that I'm lifting, max lift here, because you can just
stand there. And there's also the mindset of not kicking the goal and going for the try.
Exactly.
Whereas Brumbies are known for kicking goals.
Kicking goals, but a bit of structure. But I thought, I just knew I was in trouble. When they turned that down and they executed, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not going to look forward to Monday.
Have we had a Alatoa on the show here?
No, not yet. Let me work on it. Hopefully we can get him on very soon. But yeah, the Brumbies get over the Hurricanes, which brings the Hurricanes' undefeated run to an end, which they probably need leading into finals footy. So that was that game. The Reds versus Blues, there was a cracking finish, 34-all at the 80th minute. The Reds had the ball making their way up the field, probably to put themselves in goal-kicking range, field goal, try to get a penalty. But they knock it on. Blues shift it wide, get it out to Samoan Caleb Clark, who came off the bench this game, but he was a man on a mission. I'd love to see him and Brian To'o go at each other. They're going to be very similar. It'll be a tough battle.
I've seen some family of mine up at the game, and they waited after to wait for Caleb, and he went around. You've seen videos of him going around the whole stadium, taking photos, shaking hands to all the fans that stayed back after the game to have that moment with him. So
he is the people's champ. I feel like very similar to Brian Tott in terms of energy and demeanor as well. They have that, but he made a line break down the sideline, drew and passed the fullback, and the Blues score on the bill to win the game. So that was an outstanding game for both teams. But this is the big one, the main event, the Battle of the Pacific, the Fijian Drua versus Moana Pacifica at Churchill Park, Lotoka, Fiji. It was so hot, honestly. Like, just plain and simple, it was
boiling. Aren't
you on the air? Yeah, mate, I was standing again next to big Nemanja Nondolo. He's still sweating bullets and it's 19 degrees in the box, but he takes up the whole commentary box. It's not a big one. And he's just huge and he's even got his sweats out.
Outside the aircon room.
When I had to go outside to do the halftime interviews and stuff. 36.
36?
Yeah, 36. Beaming. And you could see the players. There were some of the big boppers for Moana Pacifica, hands on your knees with about 2 minutes into the game.
Yuck.
3 minutes into the game. But honestly, it was probably a game where when you look back on it for Moana Pacifica, they played their best footy in the last 20 minutes. You know, they probably would have been so frustrated with the fact that they had a game plan and it wasn't like it was the wrong options. It just wasn't executed well, like kicks going out on the full, just simple knock-ons, not straight line-out throws. And everyone knows, like, the Battle of the Pacific, they talked up the flair, they talked up the big hits, but the moments were definitely won in those small areas of the game.
Effort areas.
The effort areas and just the little details. So that was them in that first 60. And then when Christian Lealiofano, Jonathan Talmatene, the halfback, and Tongan back row, Lotu Anisi, when they came on in that last 20-minute period, like, they were able to get momentum and get him on the front foot to be able to bring that scoreline back. But the Drua, Daniela Rakuro, scored two tries. He seems to love scoring tries against Moana Pacifica. He was outstanding in that game. Again, Josefo Massi, the center, he was causing havoc, and as well as Celestino Ravutamanda scoring a nice try. But I think the moment for that game was actually when I got to speak to Tana Umanga, the great man, Samoan, played for the All Blacks. I got to interview him before the game, and I just asked him about, you know, what's this Battle of the Pacific mean to our people? And he just said, you know, the battle was one part of it, and it's important that we do battle it out there on the field. But he goes, more importantly, it was about the connection on Pacific soil. So he was just saying it was just beautiful that it's almost done like a 360 top of turn in a way where all of, like, our ancestors or whatever, or himself, his father, they came over to play their home games in New Zealand or in Australia. But now this next generation, this younger generation, their home games are now on Pacific soil. So he was just talking about, like, that beautiful connection. And we saw that at the end of the game when both teams, they came together arm in arm. Daniela Rokuro, after his name, man of the match, led the prayer, and then they sung a hymn. So I thought that there were some beautiful moments in that game, with the draw eventually winning 24-17.
Just speaking on that note, Tana and the Pacifica, they'll be playing that game in Tonga as well soon, eh?
Yeah, this weekend.
This weekend.
Yeah, which is very. Did you read my notes?
Nah, I remember you mentioned it last week.
Yeah, nice, mate. I think I might have got the team wrong last week, but anyway.
What was it? So who are
they? They're playing the Highlanders this week. So it's cool. They go straight from Fiji. They'll hang there until Wednesday, and they'll fly over to the beautiful Kingdom of Tonga over there. They'll play at Delfeva Stadium. I saw Delfeva Stadium's got a new scoreboard. The commentary around the scoreboard is the fact it costs more than the stadium. So it's gonna rock over there as well. So everyone's looking forward to getting out there, playing in front of the Tongan fans. I'm sure it'll be a big game for them. And you know how I like, I'm going to finish the rugby union segment on some breaking news.
What do we got today?
I'm going to look.
You've already had Alana from last week.
Yeah, Alana. I'm hearing. There's some key players from the Drua are going to be snapped up into the Fijian Sevens team for the Olympics. Got a couple of names, but I can't announce it yet.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are they allowed to do that?
Yeah, 100% they are. 100%. The Super Rugby will be finished. They'll start preparing for the Olympics. There's already a couple of gold medalists in the draw team from previous Olympic Games. So,
is that a hint?
That's a hint that I'm going to release it, not today.
So you're telling me they don't have to qualify if they get selected, they just go straight through into the team?
Yeah, as long as you have your Fijian passport,
they're
good to go. We've seen it done in the past with other players being plucked out of Super Rugby. So Lotte Tungiri did it for the Com Games back in 2006, I think it was.
They've got a Fijian squad, like seven squad playing now on the circuit.
Yeah, they do.
So would they be replaced or are they
going
to
have... Yeah, it'll be tough. And to be honest, when you look at the results of the Fijians, sevens at the moment, I don't think they haven't won a tournament in the last 20 tournaments.
Oh, okay.
So if there is a change, a couple of those players will be needed
to go chase the gold.
Chase the gold again. So there you have it.
Let's head over to Shelley Long for the long story short.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
We are back with another segment of the long story short with our PNG Orchids superstar and North Queensland Cowboys NRLW player, Shelley Long. Shelley, let's cut straight to it. How'd you go on the weekend? Cutters versus Burley. What were we saying?
Sorry, guys. My bloody dash hound. Sorry. Is that, can you hear that?
No, it's fine. Yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
I just want to hear what, like, let's get to the point here. Don't worry about the dog in the background. Let's go straight to
the result.
Straight to the result. We ended up losing on the weekend.
Oh,
there it is.
Come on. See, that's why the dog's barking.
Yeah. Okay. So you're obviously not living up to your shirt where it says 1% better each day. did the Burley Bears,
Yes. Yep.
Did they listen to the show last week and they probably felt that energy and their cockiness that came through? Is that what happened?
I think that they just had a really good game plan and they came out firing. They were ready to knock us off our winning streak, and I think they absolutely nailed it. We weren't ready for it. I think we were a little bit complacent. I know my energy was definitely probably too complacent. but – I mean, yeah, it's good. It's good to get the loss. I think for us, especially when you're winning, running on so many wins, to get that loss and then reevaluate. Okay, this is some of the stuff that we need to work on going forward.
What about your losing streak?
Oh, that's against yes
your partner, Talisha.
So thankfully, she actually didn't end up playing on the weekend.
Oh.
Or else it would have been another running comment in the house. So I'm grateful.
So it didn't count.
It didn't count, but it counts because it's still her team. Wow, she would have given the inside word for sure on how to get under the skin and how to prepare against this Cowboys outfit. I mean, Cutter's outfit.
How did they celebrate after the game? Were they like cheering like they won the grand final?
No, they were actually really good. It was a really strong game, and they battled really hard, and I felt like they were really humbled in that win. And I was quite happy with that. You know, it always sucks when you lose, but it's really good when you've got another team that's not going to rub it in your face at the end of the day.
Respectful.
Yeah, nice. Well, no, you're right. It's good to get a loss out of the way so you know you're not bulletproof, or, you know, at the same time you can, there's still things to work on.
And
plenty
just
of
go
times.
Grab the girls and start making your way up Castle Hill.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you need. That's what needs to happen.
Nah, just kidding.
I think from your point, Sam, when you're talking about T and I chatting about footy, I need to stop watching the games after with her, because she was saying to me all week, I know what you do, Shelley. Like, I know that you step off this foot into contact, da da da. And I was like, oh, it's on. And then she didn't end up playing. She was away on the Torres Strait Islands. But thankfully, I was like, you don't know what I'm going to do now this week.
Oh, she would have told her teammates, don't be fooled.
Yeah, so she was just getting into her. She didn't know. She doesn't know. She's just playing the mind game.
She said on the team chat your exact game plan and how to counter it. So,
that's not good news, but great news. It's just great to tell that story. You know, unreal. Shelley, get back on the horse and go again. Speaking of any other rugby league news, what's happening in the world of rugby league?
Yeah, so State of Origin, Women's State of Origin is around the corner. At the moment, we have no confirmation on who's been selected in both of those teams. It should hopefully be announced shortly, and hopefully we'll be able to have a chat about it next Monday. But when we talk about that Cutters versus Burley games, there was a player who really stood out to me in that game, and it was
Shelley Long. Sorry, continue. That would have been funny if you said your own name.
Just quickly. So we were on the plane down to Brisbane, and we were playing. Have you ever played that game where you have to do all of these categories and you say, someone will say a letter and then you try and write them down as quickly as you can?
It's called ABC.
Categories.
Categories. Anyway.
So we were playing that on the game, on the plane, and it was like famous. NRL player or NRLW player, and the letter was S, and so I put my own name down.
Yes.
And I was like, why not? It's asking for S. I won.
It's true.
I'll take the 10 points.
Own it.
I'm really starting to think you're not really that humble. Shelley, joking. Anyway, rugby league news, sidetracked.
Back to the girl.
But a player from Burley that really stood out to me was proud Fijian winger Sienna Lang. She stood out to me on the weekend with her powerful runs, and she made several great defensive efforts. But with a couple big injuries in that Burley squad, she had to actually play in different positions. So she started on the wing, went to fullback, and then moved around a tiny bit as well. And she did that so seamlessly. So she's definitely a young player that I'm really looking forward to see. She has been in and around the Titans squad before. Her sister is Tegan Lang, known as Hardigan now, who also used to play for Fiji in the rugby league space. So,
Is this Maddie Hardigan's sister-in-law?
Yes.
Oh, well, I went to school with Maddie. We're close mates. He's a Dolphins recruitment guy.
His wife.
Tegan, Fiji. Yeah.
Plays for Titans.
Played for the Warriors in the first NRLW season.
Yeah. So her sister is doing absolutely incredible in the rugby league, Queensland rugby league competition. But outside of the Burley and the Cutters game, Clydesdales took on Wynnum, winning 24 points to 20. It was proud Papua New Guinean woman and PNG Orchid prop Jessica Reeves sealing the deal with her powerful run to the try line. So Clydesdales have moved to second place after that win. Devils and Bears are third and fourth on the ladder, with Seagulls not too far in fifth place.
That's good stuff in rugby league. Rugby union, big game, the grand final.
Yeah, what an incredible performance in the Super W grand final on Sunday. The Waratahs showed that they were ready to take out their fifth Super W title after some outstanding performances within the round games. Undefeated throughout the whole season, their combinations and structure and attack were absolutely sensational to watch. You look at some of their moves, it just looks like they all know exactly what to do. It's so seamless. It's really clean. And they just found the space. Like some of those things, it's not easy to make the right choices, and they just do it so well. So, but unfortunately for our beloved Fijian Drua, the Waratahs proved too powerful across the board. Throughout the game, we saw several defensive decisions that led to three players receiving yellow cards for foul play. And within the final minutes of the game, we also saw Jennifer Ravatia, but Proud Samoan and Waratah's second rower, Atasi Lafai, received player of the match for her outstanding performances. She actually scored try of the game with her powerful barge over. And she's, like you said, Sam, had a lot of challenging comebacks too. So definitely excited to see what she has to go for the rest of the seasons with Wallaroos around the corner, hopefully soon. She'll definitely be one that they'll be looking to select.
Yeah, she's been a powerhouse in every single game, formerly a back as well. I didn't realise she played in the centres. So it made sense. She's got really nice silky skills, and she did have a lot of injuries. So she's getting recognition for all of her hard work. Yeah, for the Drua, I think for them, discipline was a big thing there the whole year. They got a yellow or red card in nearly every single game. And I guess that's exactly what happened in the grand final, which they got three or four, I think, and so they were always playing a player down throughout the whole game. And as you said, the Waratahs were clinical. They were deliberate with their preparation in terms of how they were taking this game on, and deserved winners.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's obviously Fiji Andrew will go back to the drawing board in preparation for next year. But when we talked last week, you know, there's only a few players who have played several grand finals before that were actually in that team. So hopefully now moving forward, those players that played in this grand final will be able to step up and take some of that leadership into their next campaign and really cut down on those yellow cards.
Yep. Nah, that was amazing. I actually really love that segment, Shelly.
This guy's still he's still laughing about your cutters losing. That's why he can't. This is a grin on his face in the corner.
It was the grin. It was the result. It was the dog in the back. And yeah. It was just a quick shout out, though, to Sarah Nguema for winning the grand final in the Super W. Yeah, she's good friend of ours, and just thought I'd show some love. She's probably partying still, having Mad Monday. But, yeah, anything else around the traps, Shelley?
That's it from me for this Monday.
Beautiful.
Oh, nice, Shelley. We look forward to next week, and hopefully we can hear that you actually get the win this week and learn from the last game.
Well, let's hope so.
Too easy.
All right, Shelley, take care. Cheers.
Monday.
Bye.
Thank you. Culture Shock.
All right, T, it's time to break up the footy chat. Head over to Culture Shock. Last week, we spoke about Tuvalu on our segment, and this is where we tried to bring some new facts about the Pacific to each other and our audience. And this week, we are heading back to the Solomons.
Back because we went to Honiara for that Pacific sports show in the Solomon Islands.
Pacific Games.
And did you notice anything when we went there in the Solomon Islands, anything common with their hair?
Was it like mine?
I don't know, was it?
I think so.
Anyways, my culture shock is the Solomon Islands have the highest rate of blonde hair outside of Europe.
You're joking.
And to be a little bit more specific, the highest rate of blonde hair is found in the village of Titiana on the island of Troisil.
Is it natural blonde? Like, just or dyed blonde?
Yeah. So scientists, they're not 100% sure why, but they believe that the trait may have originated from ancient migrations or genetic mutations.
You know, out of all the things we've been shocked about,
blonde, that, the blonde gene, they call it.
That has got me. That's unreal.
So, the blonde gene, and it's more prevalent among the indigenous people of the Solomon Islands. One thing you should have noticed was a lot of blondies.
A lot of blondies. Well, you Solomon didn't notice Islands. It until now, otherwise you would have brought it up earlier.
That's my culture shock. How good is that one, eh?
Well done. Where am I going?
We are going to Palau.
Palau. Okay, I've got no idea. I've got nothing on Palau, but I'm going to go find something special to shock everyone. So I'll do that for next week. And something else that will shock us is that my cousin's up next, Alana Sikimeti.
Let's get it.
This is Nation Footy.
Well, this week on Nation Footy, our special guest is a young Tongan Australian rising rugby superstar who plays Super W with the Brumbies and could be potentially in the Wallaroos squad, highly likely, but we'll find out. For the very first time, she's learned everything from watching her cousin. Yes, T, I'm talking about myself.
You.
Yeah, and a couple of other better ones than me, but on how to play the game of rugby, and that's why she's killing it. It's my beautiful cousin, Alana Sikimeti. Alana, welcome to Nation Footy.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you.
Great intro, Sammy.
Yes, that's if you can't tell, I practice that a lot. No, but I'm stoked to have you on. It's been amazing to see your journey. But as I said in the intro, you may have made the squad or not, but I'm just going to – I'll just put it out there to the fact that last week your dad messaged me at 6 a.m. the morning.
Yeah.
And I thought something was wrong. So he goes, oh, can you give me a call? And I thought something was wrong. And I said, oh, man, I'm sleeping. But if there's something wrong, can you just text me back? And he goes, it's all good. I'm just happy about Alana. And then I was like, Oh, okay. I think I know where this is going. So, well, hopefully you get announced, and I'm sure you will. Yeah. But how has your, I guess, debut season been?
Oh, it's honestly been unreal. Like, I think it was the best decision moving here in Canberra to Brumbies. Like, I've just learned so much. And obviously having a really good season, potentially making Wallaroos, I think this has been, like, the best season I've ever had in my whole career.
What's it like living down there, moving away from your family?
It's freezing. Like, yeah. It's so challenging. Like, I'm such a family person. So moving away from my family was the biggest struggle I could have ever done. But it was really good because I had Justin here, my older brother. So I stayed with him for a bit, and now I'm in the Vikings house. But yeah, honestly, like, not having my dad have a pregame chat, like, I usually have it on the way there, he's driving me there. So not having that, you know, sometimes played with my head, but he was always on the first call before I'd play. Like, he'd always give me my game chat. So yeah, it was all right.
I'm just happy that you said your dad does that, because I do that with my sons. I'm like, oh, sweet. So it's normal.
It's a dad thing.
It's a dad thing.
Let's talk about Brian, your dad. Like, Brian, your old man, and my mum are first cousins. Your grandfather and my grandmother, brothers and sisters. So, talk to us about Brian, the character he is, what he's like, and just some of the insights to some of those chats, because I can imagine they'll be out there.
Yeah. Oh, mate, that bloke is just too funny, honestly. Like, no, he would just always tell me his honest opinion, even if it was harsh or not. He would just say, oh, freaking run that ball. That's all he wanted, just to run that ball. But he was just wanting what's best for me, and he'd always tell me the clinical side of it, but also what I need to do after the game, no drink up, no, nothing like that. But those chats are always good. He always told me what I needed to do. And when I was playing, I hear my dad's voice in my head, do that, do that. That's what he said. So what he said, I really had in the back of my head whenever I was playing. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Were you influenced by your father to play rugby, or do you have other siblings that have played as well?
Yeah, so growing up, I was always at my older brother's rugby games all the time. So I always look up to them, Dylan and Justin, my older brothers, especially Dylan, because me and him have more of a connection with rugby. And so growing up, seeing him play, like, made me feel like, oh, I want to do that. I want to be that cool.
Well, yeah, Dylan, he had a little stint in Japan over there with Honda Heat. Justin also, your other brother, was in Japan as well. So did you, correct me if I'm wrong, you only really started playing, I guess, serious maybe 4 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah. So when I was 15, I didn't start playing. I just went to, like, the North Open Women's team and was just training for maybe 2 years, just training, never played.
So, sorry, you said 15 and you played rugby union for 4 years. So you're only 19?
Yeah, only 19.
Oh, wow. Sorry, I thought, like, you've moved out of home, you've moved from Sydney, from Brisbane down to Canberra at the age of 19, away from your family and potentially about to make the Wallaroos. What a journey.
Age. It's special. And so just on that, so when did you wanted to start taking it seriously from the point of seeing Dylan and Justin and you go, they were influential, I want to be like that. But when was it actually serious about, okay, this could be a path here for me?
I think it was when I first got the call up from Reds. I was like, oh, wow, like, this is my actual first season. They want me in the squad and that. And I was like, wow, I could actually take this to the next level. But then I was staying there for a bit and nothing really was happening. I wasn't really getting properly looked at or potentially seeking to be debuted. And then when I got the call up from Scotty, that's when I was like, okay, I'm on the first flight. I'm going. Like, that's when I was like, I could do this. Like, I could go over to Canberra, have a good crack, and hopefully, you know, make the Wallaroos and make my dreams come true.
That's crazy. as a young woman, and just starting her career, really, is, can you see the growth in both, you know, we speak about the growth in the women's game and rugby league, but can you see the growth in the rugby union and seeing that potential of having a good career as a professional rugby union player?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I always thought I was the youngest one playing footy, but now that I'm a little bit older, I'm seeing younger girls come up and I'm like, wow, that was just like me. That was just like me. So it is normal, like, having younger girls there. I guess I can just see the more grow in rugby union it is happening. Like, girls want to play footy and at a young age as well. Like, especially having Fatala there, like, we're the same age. So I guess it's, like, becoming more for younger girls. So, yeah, it's definitely growing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Fatala, we had her on the show not that long ago. And to be honest, I thought she was Tongan. Had no idea until the show.
Oh, no.
She was Samoan. So.
He was actually angry. He was going to start fighting someone.
Because now I was like, thought, no, I was going to put my house on Tongan. It. She was Tongan. But just going back to your dad and the Tongan side of your family, was there any, I guess, apprehension of them wanting you to play rugby, a contact sport, even from mum or dad or external family?
Yeah, oh, they always wanted me to play a contact sport. My dad always said, get that ball and run it. Like, yeah. Not so my mum. She always was like, no, stick to netball. And I was like, nah, mum, it's not working. Especially for my size, I was like, nah, I'll listen to dad on this one.
And what were you doing before you played rugby?
I was just playing netball. I played that all through high school. I was actually pretty good at it. And then I started to, you know, like, put on some size. And then I was like, oh, I'm not putting my body to good work on the netball field. I'll change the fields.
Well, it's been the right decision because you're absolutely killing it out there. So just, again, your Tongan side, I know our family's massive here in Sydney. Wasn't too many, I guess, all of our family members up in Brisbane. You would have only been very young when you moved up there, but what's that like, you know, like trying to keep that connection of your Tongan side while you live up there in Brisbane?
Yeah, it's definitely hard only knowing one person who's Tongan in where I live, which is my dad. But, you know, we always go over there sometimes to just, like, have the weddings or funerals, but dad always is speaking Tongan in the house. So I always have it in my ear all the time. But sometimes we'd go to church, sometimes with Nessie and Nini, go to church, their Tongan church over there. But yeah, it is a bit hard not having our cousins around because our culture's not really, it's with us, but we don't really recognize it or celebrate it sometimes.
Yeah, you're right. It's very important to us Pacifica people to stay connected to our culture, and we all have our favourite things. So what's your favourite thing about your Tongan culture?
Oh, definitely the food.
Yeah.
Of course.
Anything in anything specific?
Probably the otai.
Otai. It's always a favourite. It's always either luu or otai.
Yeah, otai. Yeah, and keke, if dad can make it on a good day.
Keke, what's keke?
It's like the Cook Island donut without the hole in it. That's probably the only difference.
You like horse?
Oh, mate. Nah.
Hey, I got one.
My brother will eat it. Nah, not me.
Man, that's cool. How much support have you had from, I guess, your family as well since, you know, making your debut, playing rugby and knowing the talent that's been in our family for so long? But, you know, it's all been potential, but then there's someone like yourself coming through who's absolutely shining a bright light. Like, what's the support like been for your family?
It's been unreal, honestly. I haven't played a game and not one of my families not be there. Like, when I first debuted in Sydney, my whole family was there. The cousins were there. It's just been unreal, like, getting all the messages and support saying, well done, we've got you, you've got this. Like, it's going into a game that could potentially, like, be a really, like, hard game or something. And having that in the back of my head, it helps me get through it. Oh, I'm doing it for them. I'm doing it for myself. And I know that they're watching me and they've got my back. So, yeah, the support has been unreal. honestly.
You probably have unlimited support with how big your family is. Sammy keeps saying, yeah, my cousin, and then I lose track, and also grew up with your cousins, Amanda and Billy out west in Sydney. So I could imagine that you have, unlimited support. But when you do wear the green and gold jersey, how much will that mean to you?
No words can describe, honestly. Like, it honestly means the world to me. Like, especially like such at a young age, like I don't have many things that I want to achieve right now. There's only little things, and making Wallaroos and debuting is the biggest thing. Like, honestly, not just for me and for my dad as well. Like, it's one of his big goals for me. So playing in that jersey would mean the world to me.
Yeah. Oh, Alana, I can't believe you're only 19. Really, I just still see you as that little girl. But the way you speak, your energy, your smile, it's heartwarming. And I guess at the age of 19, as you said, you're probably only focused on certain things at a time, but have you had any challenges that you've had to overcome in your journey?
Yeah, I think moving here was a big challenge for me, not knowing where I'm going to go, how it's going to be, is it going to be worth it? Just mentally having that challenge in my head. It was a big challenge for me at the start. I didn't know if I was making the right choice, but my dad always like, just do it, do whatever it takes and you'll get there. And definitely staying patient with it as well. When I was at the Reds, I was there in the system for maybe 3 years, and training for 3 years and not playing was such a big challenge, like trying to find the motivation or just to say, just keep going, it'll come. But yeah, definitely patience when you're in the system. You've already sacrificed this much, just do it, honestly. Like, I would be so nervous going to training sometimes, but I was just like, just do it.
I love how you're not overcomplicating.
Keep it simple.
Anything, you're just keeping it simple. And that answer in itself is how most players should actually take into, just do it, have a crack. Man, I know we keep speaking about your dad, but honestly, he's special to me as well, in terms of we used to have some of the things we used to laugh about all the time. I remember when we were kids, he would say, hey, can you go get the bar board? And we're like, what's a bar board? What are you on about? And he'd get angry. And then he was talking about the power board, that one that goes into the socket of the wall, the adapters. So he goes, the bar board. Like, so, you know, the language barrier between.
English.
You know, the language barrier, but it seems like he's just so wise within his words. Like, yeah. Can you explain some of those moments? You know, some of those stories, does any one of those stick for you? Like, in terms of like a bit of how he got to Australia?
Yeah. So I think when he was 15 or 16, when he was in Tonga, he came to Sydney, and he said in that bracket he had no one. He didn't know anyone, didn't have his driver's license, didn't have a passport. Oh, we had a passport, but he didn't have anything to his name. And he was like, I was like, what were you doing, Dad? Like, why did you go? And he said, because if I stayed in Tonga, I wouldn't have a name for myself. I wouldn't be where I am now. And so I think just looking back at that, him moving over to make a name out of himself is what I'm trying to do, you know, moving from Brisbane, coming to Canberra, I'm trying to make a name out of myself. So whatever he says in that bracket, I listen to him, because I know he's been through it and he knows what to do and he knows how it feels.
What a legend.
Say, for instance, I know T touched on like putting on that Wallaroos jersey for the first time. Hopefully it does happen this year. Can you picture what or think about what that phone call will be like from your dad? Do you reckon he'll be able to get the words out, or will he cry? Like,
oh, I think he'd just be so speechless. Like, he will cry. He never cries, but I know he will cry. Yeah. I think he'll be very proud of me and of himself as well, because, you know, he's the one who's put me in this position to do this. So I think he will be very proud. It'll be very special. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to talk to him after it happens. It's going to be special. We're going to have a laugh. Finally, I guess with all the cousins that have, I guess, represented at higher levels, why was I the best one out of all of them? there's been a few there.
You can be honest.
But seriously, why was it? Nah.
No, I do remember that your game in Brisbane, that was the first ever rugby union game I've ever seen professionally.
Really?
Yeah, it was the first ever one in real life I've ever seen.
How can you remember that? Wouldn't that have been like when you were in nappies?
Yeah. No, I think I would have been maybe seven.
This is a silly question, but did we win?
Probably not.
Because I think these guys were released back to go back to our house and have dinner, so maybe that's not.
Oh, that's right. I had a feed at your house before the game. That's right. Yes. Oh, nah, that's unreal. Hey, Alana, I want to thank you so much for jumping on. It shocked me the fact that you're still only 19. It's been an absolute privilege and honor to sit here and just see you do your thing and pave your own path and give yourself the name that you want to have out there in this world. Nothing but love. And we wish you all the best, and I can't wait to see you have a long, long career.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This has been so cool, honestly. But yeah, thank you so much.
Nijan Knowledge.
We're here now. We like to finish this show with Nijan Knowledge, where you'll be asking me three questions. We've kept a score, and the score is 6-3.
6-3.
Yes, it's in 6-3 for the last 2 months, I think.
Yeah, and so that's why I've changed it up a little bit today for you.
It's good.
Yep. It is good, mate.
Well, the loser at the end of the season has to get a Nijan footy tattoo on their bum if you're new to Nijan footy. So, yeah, we're chasing down some points on my end.
All right. Hey, let's get into it. I was listening to the radio the other week, and I just remember Secret Sounds and all that, and you have to try and guess.
Oh, yeah.
So it's along those themes, but the first one will be, I just want you to guess this player. Guess this player.
Guess the player.
Okay, he's got, and a clue is, he's got 100 brothers that play. Okay, so let's have a listen.
I'm not enjoying it, you know, but it's part of the game.
Samoan.
He's Samoan.
Do I have to get the first name?
You know what, I'll just, you know, if you can get the initial of the first name.
F. Tuilagi. Is that a Tuilagi brother?
It is a Tuilagi brother.
Oh, I need no Fred.
Man, there's so many of them. No, but it's Alisana. Alisana Tuilagi, the big winger. He was asked about smashing players, and he's just going, oh, I don't like it, but it's just part of the game. So that was him.
Half a point?
Half a point. Tuilagi. I'll give you half, because all I was looking for was an initial. Anyway, here we go. Moving on.
So where's the pick the sound?
This one here. Oh. Relax, mate. Here we go. Play this whistle. All right. You would have heard the whistle plenty of times throughout your career. Is that a penalty or kickoff?
Go play it again. Oh, yeah, that's a penalty.
Penalty?
Yeah, penalty whistle.
Okay, perfect. Ding. Right, so there's a point. So 1.5. You're on. That's easy.
Good. We're coming closer.
Okay. Now, tell me. Play that whistle again. All right. Union. Or league, that whistle.
Out now. That's a Union one.
Yes, it is.
The ref said out now.
Out so. Now. Yeah, yeah, told him to roll away from
two
the
two and a half points.
There we go. How easy was that?
Too nice to me, mate. Yeah, too nice. My birthday's not till next week, mate.
Yeah, that's my early birthday present. Where was mine from last week? Just decided to go hard questions.
No, you're in Fiji.
That's for work. That wasn't a birthday present. But anyway, I thought I'd give an easy one this week for you, T. Outstanding work, but that's
5.5. That's
5.5 to 6. So I'm still in front.
Still going to keep it hard next week.
No, don't be. You're a jerk if you do that. But that's our time up today for Nijan Footy. Remember, there's recent chats with Pauline Piliae, Rasambale, Kyle Iro, and plenty more where you can listen back wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.